Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
You are the light. Jesus said when he came, he said, I am the light of the world. Then he told his disciples that you are the light of the world. So the light that the world has is going to be coming from you and I. Amen. And that's the reason he has us placed here today. Before I get started, I have to clean up some things. It's one thing to make mistakes or do something wrong in public and just let it ride. There's another way to do it, and that is to make it right in front of everybody. Last week, I welcomed Barry and Denise, and they were sitting over here, and I welcomed them, and everything was fine. Then they switched positions. He was Barry over there. But when he moved over here, I called him Larry. So, it didn't dawn on me one bit what I called him. I really didn't. It really didn't. But I've got some favorite people in this congregation that really love me enough to bring correction. Matter of fact, I think some people enjoy it. But I really have to be open to correction. And anyway, I won't mention their name. Brandon, I won't tell on you. I really won't. But he came back. He looked at me and smiled real big. And he said, his name is Larry. Barry. I did it again. His name is Barry, not Larry. He didn't say, I enjoyed the message today. You did real good today. I really liked everything. His name is Barry, not Larry. In a loving way. It really was. It was in a loving way. I didn't take it that way, but he did. But no, I did. But Barry and him came in this morning, and I looked at him, and I said, I want to ask you. But he says, I've already forgiven you. And the whole point was about forgiveness. So he got the message before I even called him by the wrong name. But anyway, he did forgive me, and I thank you so much for that. Everyone, but listen, that's the only mistake I made. That day. No, that's wrong too. You know. But I just wanted to make that right. I really did. Barry. It's good to have y'all. It really is. It really is. And while we're at it, I want to do, I've done this before, but he wasn't here. So I want to do it while he's here. And I want to recognize somebody and who served in the Army, served in the military, the Army. And he's retired now. He was a doctor. Roland, are you here? I saw you just a minute ago. There you are. Stand up. He retired. He served his country well. How many years? 11. 11 years in the Army. Thank you. Yeah, we mentioned him before, but I thought they were here, but they were not that day. But I wanted to recognize him while he was here. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 18. Before we get started, here's what I want you to pray. And you can do it in a song. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. What's the rest of it? I want to see you. That needs to be your prayer. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. That's our prayer. And I want you to, I know you, somebody's still wanting to sing, so I do get it. But that is so good that we understand that our prayer can be a song, our prayer can be any way that we appeal to God. Our prayer is appealing to God. And but I want to talk a little bit about, we talked about forgiveness, what it is and what it isn't, for the last couple of weeks. And took our time with it and made sure we understood when we say, I forgive. And what does it mean? What does it not mean? Because sometimes we think it means something else and we don't forgive because we think it means something else. But anyway, we could say that I don't have to forgive. Look at what they did. So we can have that attitude. And what's the bad if I don't forgive? I mean, come on. And we can have a thought process that says, I'm forgiving. And we can live under the illusion of forgiving when we're actually unforgiving. And a lot of times that comes because you have not encountered the truth. And that truth can come through preaching, through messages, or it can come from a person. Is there anyone in your life like Brannon? I'm messing with you. I'm grateful he's in my life. Is anyone in your life that can challenge, if you say, I forgive someone, and they notice how you're treating the person, is there anyone in your life you connect to that can challenge you on that? That's a good question. You should have people in your life that love you enough, that are close to you enough, that can raise up a challenge when they see that you're not living up to what you're professing. Tell your neighbor, you need that. All right. And receive it from your neighbor. Receive it from them. You need that. Before, in this passage, we need to need to understand that if we live under the illusion of maturity, it's actually one of the biggest immaturities that we can have. Living under the illusion, and we just say we do. Have you ever thought about forgiving somebody and then you hold it against them, saying, I forgive them? You know, so unforgiveness is pretty big. Unforgiveness is pretty big. And it has a lot of misunderstandings about it with Christians. And I want to talk about that a little bit today. But in the beginning of the chapter, Jesus is talking about the disciple said, who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? So all of a sudden you begin to see, it must be me. It must be me, so I'll ask him the question so he can brag on me. Who's the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus begins to give them the discourse of the truth, and he tells them about humility and about becoming like a child. Like a child. Like a little, have you ever noticed that kids, when one does the other one wrong, and they're little kids, and it doesn't take just a few minutes, and they're just back playing like it never happened. Yeah. Why? That's the child in them. See, when we grow up, we learn how to hold grudges. They don't learn how to hold grudges when they're little unless you teach them to hold grudges. So he says, talks about humility, talks about a little child, and he talks about offenses, and he talks about stumbling blocks. Before what I'm about to read. And then he talks about recovering people from astray, going astray. He said, if you got 100 sheep and one goes, he said, and you go get the one that has gone where? Astray. You know, there's a lot of people that's gone astray. Do you hear what I'm saying? You know, so we need to make sure that we are in that company with God that reaches out to rescue, to reach out and to rescue. No, you're not God, but you're representing who he is because he is in you and you're reaching out to that person. So he talks about reaching out, and he talks about forgiving. And then, here's where I'm at. Matthew 18, 21. Then is when Peter talks. Jesus has already talked about all this other stuff. And then Peter talks again, and he says this. He said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Pretty blunt question. We talked a little bit about that the other week. Up to seven times. So Peter is looking for what? What do you think Peter's looking for? A way out. He's looking to a limit. He's looking to the end of my forgiving so I can do what? Whatever I want. So I'm checking this out. I'm looking out. I'm waiting. And all right, and I forgave him. And but he's done it seven times. Do I forgive him seven times? Up to seven times. So what is he doing? Keeping count. What did we say last week? Forgiveness does not keep count. It loses score. So he says this. Jesus said, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. He said, whatever you're saying, I didn't say that to you. I didn't say for you to do it seven times seven, or up to seven times. That didn't come from me. So what are you going by sometimes that didn't come from him? Do you hear what I'm saying? Sometimes we'll hear things that did not come from him. It came from somebody else. It could have been somebody that's bitter, somebody that doesn't know the Bible, and they think they know the Bible, and they got a certain way to interpret the Bible from their position. And Jesus is saying, look, I didn't tell you that. I didn't say that to you. So what should we understand about following the Lord? We should do what? What he says. What he says. Flesh says a lot of things. The world says a lot of things. Other people say a lot of things. It could not, some of it cannot be from the Lord, won't be from the Lord. Some of it won't be. Some of it will be, but some of it won't be. So he says, I didn't say that to you. And he goes on and says this, for this reason, very important that we captured those words. Therefore, and a New American Standard, it's for this reason. Okay, there it is. For this reason. I'm going to follow that. I'm going to follow my notes here so I don't have to turn and look. For this reason. Why did he say that? Here's what he's saying. He said, I just got through telling the disciples. What did he tell them? Here's what he told them in essence. There is no limit to forgiveness. Let that sink in. There's no limit to forgiveness. Somebody says, yeah, but he said 40, but he's not doing math. He wasn't teaching math. He was teaching the principle of it's not seven times. He said it's unlimited. He said, for this reason, I just got through telling you, for this reason, you forgive, it's unlimited. And here's the reason. That's what he's saying. It's unlimited, and here's the reason. You want to know the reason? It's in the Bible. He said, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. Now, if we do not study the Bible, we will take what we read on the surface, and we will come to a conclusion that has a high possibility of not being from God. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you can say it's written. But if we haven't studied the Bible and dug deep at what it's saying, we can come away from a conclusion that will be in error. So I don't want to be in error, do you? I mean, I called Barry Larry, so I didn't want to be in error, so I got to make it right. So we have to find ways to make this thing right. So he says this. He says, to wish to settle the accounts. That word accounts. Does anybody know what that word is? You ready? Logos. Logos, the written word. Logos means a word. It means a reason. It means an order. He said, I'm going to settle the logos. I'm going to settle the order. I'm going to settle the word. I'm going to settle this. He said, I'm going to settle this. And who's he settling it with? Slaves. Now, what does that word mean? In this context, in this passage, here's what that word means. It means a higher official of the king's court. They're still in servitude, but they're not common slaves that has nothing. That's what that word means. They're higher, they are the higher officials of his court. They're not, it's not them, but they are the higher officials of his court. Now, does that matter? It matters to me because it's in the Word. So you have to understand that that's who he's talking to. And then he says this, and when he began to settle them, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. Okay. Does anybody know how much that is? I didn't either until you start studying. Then you start studying. A denarii there's 6,000 denarii in a talent. And a denarii is 16 cents, 16 pennies. So when you do the math, you're looking at this and you said, okay, it's close to 1,000 making 1,000 denarii making a talent. Then he says, okay, that's $1,000 times what? 10,000. Now, who's good at math? What is that? What? 10 million. So how much did this, see, that's the reason I know it's not just a common, ordinary slave. There ain't no way a common, ordinary slave can owe $10 million. But somebody that's in the officiating of the court, that has words that they can give and release, can cost him money and cost him greatly. So he says, okay, in the settling of the count, settling of the logos, settling of what was said, what was done, how he behaved. So it was his action and what he did. I don't know what he was completely in charge of, but I do know one thing. He said he settled the logos. He settled the account. He settled the words that he was giving out. And it cost him, it cost the king $10 million. Got it? Okay. That's great. So it's not great that he owed that, but let's find out the rest of the story. But since he did not have the means to repay it, how many of you have got the means to repay $10 million that you owe? I'm looking for that hand. I'm praying for that hand. I want to meet you. So we don't have that. So you begin to understand the magnitude of what he owed. Then he goes on and he says he could not repay. Since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. He's got to be sold. His wife's going to be sold. His children's going to be sold. And all that he has is going to be sold and to make the payment. So all the family's got to be sold. You're not your own anymore. You belong to somebody else. Not you, your family, your wife, all your children, and everything you have is gone. It's locked. Okay, it's gonna be sold. That's what he said. That's what you're gonna have to do to be able to pay me back. The slave, this attendant, falling down, prostrated himself before him, saying, "So he's." It's almost like he's worshiping. He falls down before him. He throws himself down before him, and he begins to cry out. And what does he cry out? So you see what's happening here. He says, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. So he's begging, he's pleading with him, he's down on his knees, and he's prostrated before the Lord, and he said, I beg you, have mercy, patience, have patience with me, and I'll pay it back. I'll pay you everything I owe you. And the Lord of the slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. How much compassion is that? A lot of compassion is coming out. Remember this. Jesus says, for this reason, I'm about to tell you, is the reason that you need to forgive. So he says, he released him and forgave him. He said, and the slave went out. He got up, and the slave left the presence of the king, and he went out and found one of his fellow slaves. One, and that word is one that was at the same level that he was to the king. Found someone who was just like him. And he owed him 100 denarii. Okay, denarii, 16 cents. So how much does he owe him? $16. The other slave was owed, he owed 10 million, and it was forgiven. He left that place of forgiveness. He left that place of enormity. Huge compassion bestowed upon him, released and wiped clean. He left that place, and the Bible says that he went and found, what was he looking for? Somebody that owed him. Have you ever looked for somebody that owed you? But see, he had an agenda with what he had. He said he went out and he found one of the fellow slaves, and he owed him $16. 10 million, $16. That's the difference. And then, see, Jesus is saying, you remember, forgiveness is unlimited, and here's the reason why. Because it's like the kingdom of heaven. And he begins to say how it is. And he goes on and says, $16. So he owed him $16, and the Bible said that he seized him, and he began to choke him. So he grabbed him by the throat. I can't do that. I'll go out. You know. So he grabbed him by the throat. He seized him, laid hands on him, got him, and started choking him. Grabbed him by the throat, saying, pay back what you owe. I want my $16. Was that what he said? Yeah. I want my $16. Pay back what you owe me. And the fellow servant, what did he do? He fell down, began to entreat, began to beg him. He fell down on his face. He fell down. Sort of reminds me of what happened to him. Fell down, began and started begging him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you. Have patience with me. Same thing he said to the king. What's the next three words? Or 1, 2, 3, 4. But he was what? Unwilling. I told you earlier that last week that forgiveness, part of it is not just a thinking. It is a willful thing that you give. It's of your will. You making a choice. It's not something that you're just flippantly are doing. No, it's a willful choice to say, released, forgiven, you don't owe me anything, and I don't get anything. Willful. It's a willful, but it says here what? He was unwilling. There was no willingness in him to release the man that owed him $16, even though he was forgiven of 10 million.
So he goes on. He was unwilling, but he threw him into prison until he should pay back what he owed. Not only did he choke the man, he called the popo. He called the law. Get this man, he owes me. And because he owes me, I demand payment. And if he can't pay me, he's got to go to jail. He's got to go to prison. So now you begin to see the whole motive behind where he's at. And he looks at it and he says he put him in prison until he should pay back what he owed. And when his fellow slaves, when some more of that hierarchy of those servants, the higher servants of the king's court, when they began to see what had happened, they were deeply grieved. Why were they deeply grieved? They witnessed $10 million being owed, wiped clean, the man set free, wiped clean, and released without owing a cent. That's what they witnessed. And then they turned around. Where did their grief come from? They turned around, and this man that had received all of this was throwing another one of them in prison because they owed $16, and he wouldn't forgive it. And they were grieved. They were grieved. Jesus said this. This thing about forgiveness is unlimited, and you need to understand it's for this reason that I'm going to tell you it's like the kingdom. So he goes on and he says that they reported it to the king. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, "You wicked slave. You wicked slave." Now, you know what that word means? You study, you start finding out. See, there's two wicked in the Bible. One of them is wicked in character, the complete wickedness in character. That wasn't what he was talking about here. He wasn't talking about a wicked in character. This word wicked talks about hurtful, unmerciful, spiteful inaction. There's an action done that was a wicked action. He didn't say his whole character is that way. No, he said the action that you're taking is wicked. Does that make a difference? Absolutely. And the interpretation of this whole thing? Absolutely. Because when we misinterpret the things, when we don't study like we should, and we don't understand the depth of it, that's the reason challenging your forgiveness or your unforgiveness, your challenge has to come from a truth. From the truth. And it comes from preaching, teaching, pastors, teachers, or a friend that knows the truth to be able to challenge the thing that's in you. And that's the reason I'm saying have somebody in your life that can tell you no and it sticks. So all right, let's go on. He goes on and he says this, "You wicked slave. I forgave you of the debt because you entreated me, because you begged me, because you were pleading with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow servant, your fellow slave? Should you, I gave you mercy on 10 million. Should you not have had mercy on one of your own? Should you not have that mercy?" He goes on and says, "On your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you, even as I," and we read a couple of scriptures the other week. It says, "You forgive how? As God in Christ has forgiven you." He set the example of the, look, it's not that we feel like, well, that's just too high a standard. No, that's exactly what he said to do. You forgive the way I forgave you. You forgive people the way I forgave you. He goes on and he says this, they said, I had mercy on you. And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that he was owed him. So what did the king do? He handed him over. Let's read this next verse, because I want to make sure we get everything in. So shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart. All right, what does that mean? Well, that word do means, does not mean that he will actually torture you. God's not going to do that. Your father's not going to do that. That's not what it means. So what does it mean, Pastor? I'll tell you what it means in deeper study of the Bible. To do to you means to agree, to allow, or to permit. He handed him what? Over. He didn't do the torturing. He handed him over to the one that was going to do the torturing. He allowed that to happen. You and I need to understand something, that God allows a lot of things because he understands the fullness of where we are and what it's going to take to get us to turn. So he's a good God. We see these bad things, but he's a good God. Nothing bad about him. And you begin to see that, but see, we will take this thing, said, okay, listen to this. You begin to see that this is not about eternal forgiveness. What is it about? It's about someone who has already been forgiven. Get that. Somebody who is already forgiven. And when we begin to say, okay, well, the way I read that is, if I don't forgive, he's not going to forgive me, and I'm going to go to hell. You know, that does not go with the Bible anywhere. No. So it can't be that. It's not that. What did the king do? He allowed what? Torture. And we're going to read that. We're going to find out, what does that mean? What does that mean to me, for me to be unforgiven, when I have received what? An enormous, how many of you have received an enormous amount of forgiveness from your God? All of us. Every single one of us. Well, I wasn't that bad. Oh, you was worse than that. Is that the truth? Yes, that's the truth. Well, I wasn't as bad as him. No, it doesn't matter who was the worst. You were just as bad because you owed the same amount. You owed the same amount. Sorry about that. You were owed the same amount. This thing about mercy says that it is an active desire and an action to remove miseries. A desire and an action to remove misery. What did the king do? He desired and he took an action to eliminate what? The servant's miseries. But he had one that had miseries, but he had no mercy. No mercy whatsoever, no desire whatsoever to end his miseries and forgive him. No, he's going to hold his feet to the fire. I'm owed that. You get that? I'm owed that. Look what they did to me. If they had treated you the same way that they had treated me, you get that? All of a sudden, we begin to compare. He says, look, the forgiveness that is... needs to be compared to is to be compared to what he did, not what somebody else did. Your forgiveness should be compared to how Christ forgave you. And whenever we have unforgiveness, it's not like him. We have no mercy. No mercy whatsoever. And he says what he will do, he will hand you over. He didn't say he'd send you to hell. He said he would hand you over. What does that mean? It says empowered release. He gave empowered release. Why? Because he was no longer under the grace. Listen, he was no longer under the grace of his forgiveness. He was released to go out from under the shelter of grace and to become tortured. All because he didn't forgive. He had unforgiveness. He had reasons why. He had all these reasons. He wanted that money. He wanted his $16. That was his. It was owed. It's owed to me. Owed to me. Goes on and he said, torturers. Torture. That word means to vex. We don't use that word much anymore. To vex. What does it mean to vex? It means to cause trouble, to irritate, plague, distress, confuse, bewilder, perplex, bewildered, disturb, and mental anguish. That is. Do you see? Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what the Bible's saying? This word torture is like a jailer, but it's deeper than a jailer. It means a workhouse. A workhouse. He's putting him in a workhouse. And in that day, the workhouse, they were captivated. They were captured. They were held captive. They were separated from their families. See what unforgiveness will do? It'll separate you from your families. Separate families and the familiar. It will put you in solitary confinement. What does that mean? Loneliness. Loneliness. Look, that's what he's saying. That's what the torture. This is the torture. It is going to be mandatory hard labor with long days. What does that mean? That means you work and work and work and work and work and you can't get ahead. Long days. It means no talking. Talking was prohibited. You cannot talk to each other. So communication is cut off. Unforgiveness cuts off communications. It fosters depression. It will breed you to be depressed because you have not forgiven people. You will be more prone to have depression over and over and over. Part of the torture. God doesn't do it. He allows it to be done. And there's a reason for that. So he begins to say, here we are. And the last one, it's a lack of freedom. It's a lack of freedom. You won't have freedom. Matter of fact, there is no liberty for you if you harbor unforgiveness. No liberty. It's available, but not for you. Why? Unforgiven. Unforgiveness. This thing here, why is he telling us that? Why is he telling us that? He says, forgiveness is unlimited. And here is the reason why. It's like the kingdom. And he begins to tell a story. And you begin to see that his forgiveness needs to be given when he thinks about the forgiveness that he has gotten. When you fail to remember what God has forgiven you for, when you fail to remember, you will not remember the enormity of the debt that you owed. And when you forget that, you will begin to forget this over here. And you will begin to become, here it is, you will become a victim. I'm a victim. You may have been victimized. Has anybody in here ever been victimized? Yeah. People have been victimized one degree or the other, but that does not make you a victim. You start becoming a victim when you start acting like a victim. You're not, he says, you are a what? What does God say about you? You're an overcomer. Victoriously. An overcomer. Then all of a sudden, the overcomer becomes tortured. Why is that? We've chosen to spurn the forgiveness God has given us and not allow his forgiveness to flow us to others. We've held our own will and not his. So why is this so important? Hebrews 12:6 says this, for those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. What's he getting after when we're being disciplined? What is he getting after? He's getting after us to share his holiness. And he said, because I love you, I'm going to discipline you. If you don't love you, you don't have to worry about it. He ain't going to discipline you. You don't belong to him. Try to start wearing out a young'un that's misbehaving, and it ain't your young'un. So you understand what I'm saying? I've wanted to. And as a matter of fact, I've caused a few of them to want to whip me when I was growing up that I didn't belong to. Hebrews 12:11 says, all discipline for the moment seems to not be joyful, but sorrowful. We feel the sorrow of it. Yet to those who are trained by it, it's a training process. When we're unforgiving, he said, I'm going to put you in this training. This training ain't going to feel good. This training ain't going to look good. But I'm not going to do it to you. But the torturers will do it to you. And I'm going to allow it because I want to see you turn. I want to see you turn. I want to see holiness, my holiness, to be revealed through you. That's just so. It's not about his punishment. He wants the holiness of God to come out of you. That's the reason we can't choose. We can, but when you choose not to be forgiven, not to forgive people, this is the consequence. This is the discipline of the Lord. He said, when you're trained by it, you will yield a peaceful fruit of righteousness. Holiness and righteousness after this. What is God after? The holiness and righteousness. He wants us to repent. He wants us to change our mind about forgiving other people for the great debt that he's given us. And then we hold that, look, people hadn't done us near as bad as we've done him. And here's the other one. 1 Corinthians 11:32. We are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. He's not going to condemn you along with the world. He's going to discipline you so he doesn't have to. Luke 12 says this, from everyone who has been given much, much is required. much is required. I have another sermon. Can't give it. Time's out. We're over. Our bedrock of forgiving is huge in our walk with God. We walk with God. We do things. We travel with Him. And all of a sudden we go, watch this, we go astray. Astray. And He has to bring us back to where we need to be. And sometimes when we choose not to forgive, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. You don't know what they did to me. Lord knows. And He's forgiven. So, stand to your feet. This is a time for you and I to be able to be challenged with the truth that you hear. It's one thing to hear the word, but what else? We got to do the word. We hear the word. He said, just don't be hearers of the word, but be ye doer of the word. So today, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that you will open the eyes of our heart, that we will be doers of your word, not hearers only, and that forgiveness will flow from our being like mighty rivers of water. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Be seated. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. If you do not know Him, come on up, Pastor John. If you do not know Him as your Savior, come see Brother Doug right here after the service. Just wait till we're finished, Doug, and he'll be here. And if you want to say, I surrender, I want to surrender my life to God, then right here's the place to do it. Yes, John.
Amen. Great word. Amen. Thank God for the word.
Amen. All right. We have a few announcements. Ignite Fellowship, this is going to be Saturday, September the 27th, from 9 a.m. to 12 at the Family Life Center. This is for grade 6 and 12. We'll meet on the 27th, and that will be 9 a.m. in the morning to 12 noon. Also, want to remind you today, we have a spaghetti dinner at the FLC, and it's donations only, and I think they're going to have a cake auction down there also. So right after service, we can go down and have lunch. And this is to support the Trail Life, okay? And we got two more announcements here. No Bible study this Wednesday, but. We will have a night of worship and praise and worship here starting at 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, okay? So just come out on Wednesday night, and we're going to be having a night of praise and worship with our praise team, okay? And that will be the 24th, which will be this Wednesday. All right, okay. We have something that's going on in the community here. This is a partnership appreciation launching. And Together We Rose, this is celebrating and having a launching and appreciation for those that participated in raising funds and helping the people when the storm came through, okay? For Helene, okay. Okay. He said, whether you prayed, hands-on, whatever you did to help, this is for you. And today you need to respond. Today is the 21st, and that will be Friday, September the 26th, and it starts at 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., and this will be at the Foundation over at Isothermal Community College, okay? All right. We want to pray for Marvin Anthony. He's in the hospital. And I talked to him this morning. He said he was doing better, but they're going to do a, he's going to have surgery in the morning. They're going to be putting in a pacemaker. So we want to cover Marvin and want to thank God for seeing Miss Keisha back with us today. Amen. Glad to have you back. Amen. Let's just pause here and let's just pray for Marvin. And is there anyone else that would just need us to pray for you this morning? Anyone else? Okay. My sister over here, Rebecca. Okay, we want to pray for her. I think you're having some surgery. Okay. Father, we just thank you so much this morning, Lord. And God, we thank you that you already have paid the price for our healing. So we speak healing to Rebecca this morning. And we speak healing to Marvin, Lord, as he goes through the surgery. God, everything will go according to plan. So, Father, we pray over them right now in the name of Jesus. And, God, we give you praise for what you're doing because you are the healer, Lord. And, God, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you. Don't forget. Okay. Okay, the sign-up sheet for the appreciation launching for the hurricane relief is over here on the table. Okay, and if you need any other information, please see Brother Eric. If you want to stand, brother, so they can see you, this is Brother Eric Moore, and see him, but he will be over here, okay? And with that, remind our first-time visitors, please go back and get your gift today for coming and being a part of the service. Let us stand, amen? Yes. Okay, hearing the voice of God will start, what time? 10:30 to 12, and the dates? September the 30th, okay? And you can sign up at the Communication Center for that. Father, we thank you so much again for your word. And God, as we depart this place, but never your presence, watch over us and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget the spaghetti dinner down at the FLC.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.